joining me tonight is Mama K.
Hey, everyone.
And tonight we are doing Drive Away Dolls, although the title might be something more naughty that I'm not going to say for now because we're still early on. Drive Away Dolls is the title of this film.
Oh, right.
Because they do the little thing at the end there, and I've read a thing that's like, But Drive Away Dolls. This is a Coen brother movie, not a Coen brothers movie. A singular
just
Coen.
One.
Just the one, just Ethan. Joel made the Macbeth movie by himself a couple years ago, which I did not see because it looked like a bit of a downer. And I heard it was very good, but a bit down. Did you see that one?
Mm-mm. Did not.
Maybe I'm burying the lead here. Everyone listening to this show would know Coen Brothers. They know Big Lebowski.
Right.
They know No Country for Old Men. They know... Are those the biggest
Raising
ones?
Raising
Arizona. What do you think of when you think of Coen Brothers? Like, where do you go?
I go right to Raising Arizona. That's the beginning. Like, Fargo. Mm. And there's, what is that? The George Clooney one.
There's a lot of George Clooney ones.
Yeah, the more recent one. I can't think of what it is. But Inglourious Bastards?
That's not them. No, it is not. Quentin Tarantino is Inglourious Basterds.
He
made Ballad of Buster Scruggs, or they made, what else did they make? There were more recent ones. Oh my god, I should have this in front of me. I don't have Coen Brothers stuff right in front of me.
I think of Big Lebowski, too, of course, because why wouldn't you?
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Is that what you were thinking of? That's not really...
Yeah, yeah.
That's not recent.
I guess that's not recent,
25
though.
25 years ago, almost. 24.
Yeah, that's not the one... I don't...
Country. Inside Llewyn Davis, True Grit. Oh, Serious Man. I always forget about Serious Man. Love Serious Man.
I saw True Grit, yeah.
I actually didn't see True Grit. You know which one I saw recently?
That doesn't seem like a Coen Brothers movie, though.
No, it looks too... Well, they mostly lean into that humor, like that Midwestern humor.
Yeah.
And it's very specific, and it's done very straight. And there's a couple movies where they don't have that humor, and they're still good. Like, No Country for Old Men, not a lot of humor, but that's, like, one of their best.
No.
I think after this and what I've heard about Macbeth, I think Ethan's the funny one, and Joel is the serious one. And
I think so, too.
I think when they get together, they kind of balance each other out into a nice combo blend, and then perhaps
is it a balance, or does it feel like to me it feels more when they're together, it feels more like a pairing, like they're
maybe a pairing is better, yeah, not a
yeah,
you're getting two flavors at simultaneously, a salt and sweet kind of flavor,
yeah.
And you want that. This is made with it is still a partner, though. Ethan Coen made this with his wife, Trisha Cook. Who is...
Oh, I didn't know that was his wife. Okay.
Yes, his lesbian wife. They are married, but she is openly gay and with another partner. They both have had other partners in their 20, 30-plus year marriage. So, Coen Brothers, very strange lives they lived. They lived in a house. They all lived together with Francis McDormand and a couple other people, and they were still starting out, and like Sam Raimi, and they just... Very free-spirited artist types. I don't know. Strange lives.
Yeah.
But speaking of free-spirited artist types, this is the plot of Drive Away Dolls. In search of a fresh start, two women embark on an impromptu road trip to Tallahassee, Florida. However, things quickly go awry when they cross paths with a group of inept criminals along the way. Pretty Coen-y, if I ever heard a plot. 66% on Rotten Tomatoes with the critics, 36% with the audience, 6-1 on IMDb. So, mixed-ish. If you haven't seen Drive Away Dolls, it's a scant 84 minutes? It's very short. Under an hour and a half. And it is in theaters now, not streaming currently. So if you have an interest, that's where you're going to go. And I think that's all the... That's all the preamble
that's
we need.
That's all the hullabaloo to start with, yeah.
Margaret Qualley, Geraldine Viswanee, Coleman Domingo, Pedro Pascal, Bill Camp, Matt Damon. Recognizable names. A couple. Beanie Feldstein.
Yeah.
Don't want to bury the lead. Spoil now. Philadelphia, 1999 is where this is taking place. We start with a man named Santos. He comes into a bar, and he's got a briefcase, and he nervously leaves the bar, and then he is decapitated. He's decapitated, and that's how we start the movie. elsewhere, we go to Jamie and the main characters here. We got Jamie, we got Marianne, our main characters. two lesbians, not together. They're just friends.
Yep, they're friends.
Yeah, Jamie's with Suki, who's was Beanie Feldstein's character, and
why'd you say was?
Isn't what?
Was Beanie Feldstein's character?
Jamie was with Suki, Beanie Feldstein's character.
Oh, I thought you said Jamie is. No, was Beanie Feldstein's character.
No, she's. And I'm saying, as if she died, because she doesn't. We're spoilers.
All of a sudden, we're talking in the past.
No, was. Beanie Feldstein is the character, is in the movie, but was. Yes. They're not presently in the. They're breaking up at the beginning
of
the.
Yes, that couple is breaking up.
That couple is in a breakup. So. Oh my god. So, the drive-away dolls. the whole thing is they're going to take a road trip. The plot is a little tough, I'm not going to lie. It's a lot of convoluted little, like, people running around a briefcase that they shouldn't have, they get in possession of, and then they chase the briefcase. Right. Then we find out what's in the briefcase, and it's a fun little reveal. So it's like, there's little criminals chasing around our lesbian not couple as Jamie tries to get Marion laid again, because she hasn't gotten laid since some breakup. We get some flashbacks to her childhood, I guess. Bumbling criminals, little goofy set pieces, psychedelic stuff going on.
Yes.
So that is what's going on with drive-away dolls. I don't want to get too detailed because it's honestly kind of difficult to. It's a little all over. Mama K, drive-away dolls. What do we think?
Drive-away dolls. Yeah, it's appealing at the time length that it is. However, the movie felt extremely long, even though it had these weird psychedelic segues that happened to try to, you know, push the narrative to the next, whatever was going to be happening in the next scene, which I did not understand at all until the very end, which is the whole point of, you know, the reveal. But this is a quirky movie. It's a funny movie. The Coen brothers or the Coen brother elements are in it. Like when you said, you know, our first character gets decapitated, and I realized that I giggled when you said that. I mean, what is funny about that? It's hilarious that he gets decapitated, and the way that it happens is funny, in a way that the Coen brothers do these kind of things. And I think you're right. Ethan is the funny one, and even though things that are happening, this is a, you know, if this were to happen in real life, it would be horrifying and it would be very scary, but none of that happens during this movie. This is just a, you know, funny little escape movie, and all the characters just happen to be super quirky. And the main characters just happen to be lesbians, and we just happened to have some really great. I had no idea Pedro Pascal was in this movie, so when I saw him first, I was very, you know, like, that's kind of a little gem for me. And then Matt Damon shows up, and then Miley Cyrus shows up. It's like, what's happening in this?
A lot of little cameos in this.
Yeah, Bill Camp, who plays.
Oh my boy, I love Bill Camp. What was it,
Curly?
Curly, oh, justice for Curly.
Oh, kind of the best part.
Of this movie.
My favorite parts of this movie were actually the cameos. Like, I was just really excited about seeing all of that. And I think I'm worried that makes it not really great, because if that's the best part, you know, that's kind of a bummer. I don't think I've seen anything that Margaret Qualley's done.
She does but just I know kind that, of stuff. She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Which TV. I never saw.
But she's funny in this. She's it, like, I don't think she's, I've seen her in other
she's
things,
funny,
and
she's
not
overdone.
Like, yeah,
she's over the top in this.
She's a Coen. She's being a Coen. She did her homework. She said she watched Fargo for 6 hours on loop, and then, you know, or whatever, you know.
It she's was doing just a Coen too much accent for me. The accent was too far, and not.
It's Texan. It's very George Bush.
I find it George Bush extra, like George Bush plus. Like, I think that I think it's over. But I enjoyed the ride. I think that it was nice that it was funny and quirky and just a little bit different than anything else that you're going to see in the theater, especially now there's like a dearth for films. There's nothing going on. But even in general, I think it's just kind of like a nice little little lagniappe, a little savory bit.
It's like total mess, but it's so much more. It's just like a nice time. It's like
it's a roller coaster. No, it's like not a roller coaster ride. What am I like?
It's like I think it's like if your funny friends made something on a weekend. Like if your funny smart friends were like, we made this movie this weekend. And they made, this is what they made. I'm like, it's
right.
I don't fucking understand what happened, but there's a lot of good jokes in there, a lot of funny little quips, and that's a. Right. And honestly, like I was watching this and thinking about it in tandem to the other movie the last one we just did, Flamin' Hot, and I'm like, wow, there's such opposites, and that Flamin' Hot is such a factory produced thing from tip to tail, every person all along the way, everything it has to say, inaccuracies and all. And it's feeling of just a shell of an underdog story, where this is a complete sloppy mess, makes no sense at all. It's like a student film in its continuity and like trying to keep a narrative going and like keeping you invested and caring. Like it just doesn't care that it's like the criminals are after him. Whatever, the criminals are funny. You watch them. They go. Right. They see the lesbians. They're giggle.
Not really scared of them at all.
Yeah, so. Coleman Domingo. He's got these penises. It's gonna be hilarious. Like it's just that's fine. Just write a bunch of sketches. And so that's what it is. It's like
It's a long SNL sketch.
This really funny couple who is like a business couple. It appears in more ways than in just their marriage. Primarily, they just had a fun time writing a little thing, and it wasn't done, and it wasn't ever gonna be great. And I guess so. They were just like, "All right, well, we'll just make it as it is." And you know what? That's kind of enough. Sometimes I enjoyed this while recognizing it as a. It's just not a good movie in almost any sense of like a movie. like right. Actually like the. It's
the plot.
No,
there's no really high point. There's no low point.
Let's just go on a trip. We got to get you laid. Oh, we got to get that briefcase. Like, it's just like the elements of a story of stories in there. And like, but it doesn't even seem like anyone takes that like seriously. It's all in the purpose of having a fun little scene where we say quippy things to each other. And a lot of those work. Like, not all of them, not at the highest hit rate I've seen from a Coen thing, but high enough.
No.
Like, not, definitely not low. I've seen, not too many Coen Brothers movies where I would say I didn't have any fun with that. Even, what were their most recent ones? Like, Hail Caesar is a great example. Boring ass movie, not interesting at all. But there's a Ralph Fiennes scene with Alden Ehrenreich where he's trying to get him to pronounce a sentence right, and he can't do it right because Alden Ehrenreich's the bumbling character and Ralph Fiennes is the refined character. So he's trying to get him to say it, and he can't do it. And that whole movie sucks, but I always think about that little scene. And a lot of their movies, like little quippy things. And so they get in this, I try to write some down, some of their fun little quippy things. One of them says per se in a funny way. She brings back a girl and Jamie brings back a girl. Marion's sleeping in the hotel, and the girl's like, "Oh, is this gonna be a threesome?" And she's like, "No. Oh, rats! Like just such rats. Just like such like a little right. like. Mm. It's so aw shucksy that it's so contagiously likable. A lot of Blue Bayou in this, which was interesting. I don't know why.
Trying to figure out what the deal with that was too, because there's the big scene where they somehow meet up with the college, the female college soccer team, and they're having a basement party, which I've never heard of a basement party before. Like that's
I have no lesbians close to me in my life, unfortunately, so I cannot.
To be like, is this accurate? Is this a real thing?
No. So we have options for gay friends, but we're short on lesbians in our circle. We need gotta recruit.
Well, imagine we're films with the women. We could really use that.
It's
so
true.
If there's one out there that wants to apply,
we are bereft of women seeking women, so we need.
There are places you can go for that, just saying. Yeah, that's that part, that scene with that happening, and I didn't they and they be well, I'm gonna spoil it, but they become a couple at the end, right? I mean, it's
Yeah.
a little loose, but
I would say they do. I mean, I guess it's them falling in love, but like,
it is them falling in love,
but who
but I
can't
don't really
like,
trust the main character at all. I don't trust Jamie that she's gonna be faithful, because she's a whore. Like, she's definitely
whoa,
she starts
well,
off.
some hard, harsh, hard words there.
Well, she
She's a
okay. What's
whore.
another? Okay, maybe a whore is not the right word. She's loose. She cheats on her girlfriends all the time. So
Whore is monetary.
seems like.
I don't know. It's just the
Oh,
connotations.
you're saying okay. That's not how I envision that
I don't
word.
find Jamie
But
villainous at all, I guess, at any point. I
I don't.
find her very golden
Sure, she
retrievery.
is, because she cheated on Beanie. She's a villain.
No, I understand that, but I only can look at them as cartoon characters. It's hard for me to digest their feelings and be like, I feel bad for Beanie Feldstein. I'm watching Beanie Feldstein having a meltdown, and it's funny because Beanie Feldstein's good, and
Right.
she's doing her work well, but like, it's not like, I don't feel like Jamie is this complex thing that's hurting her, and
No,
I don't
but
think about that at all. Like,
I want better for what's the girl's Miranda, not Miranda. What's the other girl's name?
Marion,
Yes.
the straight woman.
Mary. Yeah, I feel bad for her. I don't want her to be with Jamie and Jamie to be that way. So that was the only thing when it was ending, I was all like, oh, I don't, she's gonna get hurt by Jamie and I don't want that to happen.
Yeah,
But I
maybe,
guess
but
that's
like
not
we
this
end up
movie.
Marion needs to it's also Marion needs to learn to loosen up kind of movie. So maybe she needs to get
It is.
broken up by Jamie or whatever's gonna happen to them in the later on. And that's the thing,
Yeah,
it's
I
like we
don't
don't
think she
even
needs that, but you can go ahead and say that.
It was all
But
for me like a
nope, nobody
mileage
needs that.
of enjoying the banter, enjoying Jamie and
Yes,
Marion
I
playing
agree
off
with
each
that.
other, enjoying Suki with her couple of scenes with the cops. The cops are good when they go with the girls at the slumber party, and the one cop who is he it, got internalized gay things. Is that why he shoots his partner in Coleman Domingo in that one scene? Is that what we're supposed to believe? Is that like,
I think
it's
so.
okay, man. I was just experimenting. No, I'm not experimenting. I didn't hear anything. He shoots him. Holy shit! I'm like, it's a fun
I
Deus
didn't
Ex.
expect any of that.
No, none of it. It's a perfect Coen Brothers Deus Ex Machina because like
Right.
it's crazy but just plausible and Midwestern-y enough to get away with it. I forgot the reveal. There's only one real reveal, and that's like the briefcase. We're going through
The
MacGuffin
briefcase, yeah.
chasing, and we're thinking. I'm thinking it's Pulp Fiction briefcase. I think it's like, oh, it's a light. Like, there's nothing in there. Like, I didn't really even think about it. No, that's not the truth at all. The briefcase has Matt Damon's penis as well as some other penises. It's got a bunch of very powerful men's dildo, their
Right.
penis mold shaped, and that's like some sort of power thing they get off to having it, and then they shove it. Whatever, it's the power thing,
Yeah,
and so
but yeah.
when.
That was actually the most ridiculous part of this movie, honestly. I was just like, that's not it for me.
You didn't
Sorry.
like? Did you like the reveal scene at least? The reveal scene for me was fun.
I guess.
Because it's just after they hook up. I do love their hookup scene because it's JB basically takes Marion out. It's the subplot
Oh,
is
yeah.
Marion hasn't gotten laid. Jamie's gonna get Marion laid because like you gotta get laid with someone you trust. Blah blah blah. It's that classic thing. I'm your friend, so you trust me. All that. So she cheats her out. Passes out immediately, falls asleep immediately. I'm like, oh, that's real. So real. It's just like, just it's like it's been years, and then she's like, oh, this is a special thing.
Right.
As I
And
was like,
then, yeah.
of course, Jamie knows what she's fucking doing. Jamie, pro, old pro. And then wait, and then when you get the wake up scene,
Because she's
you
not old,
get the
yeah.
fun suitcase reveal, and it gave me for me. I kind of agree with you. For a 90-minute movie, it does drag a little bit just because it's so all over the
Yeah.
place. But that gave it the juice it needed to get the last 20 minutes out for me.
Yeah, I suppose. It just seems so. I don't
I
know,
think I audibly said, I
the
said, oh
fact
my
that
God, they're. I think I said, oh my God,
lesbians are gonna
they're.
wind up with a suitcase full of dildos just seems like okay.
No, that's what I said in the video. I'm like, oh my god, the plot of this movie is they stole Coleman Domingo's dildos. I'm like, this is crazy.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. I was like, I didn't realize it's the movie I was watching. It's slight, it's fluffy, but it's, I don't know.
What did you think about the psychedelic, like, you know, segue interludes. Scenes? Is that what they were?
I don't know. I read Letterboxd reviews from time to time because I like the quippy ones, and one of the best ones I saw was, the best ones are just like the one word or one sentence ones, and this is just the big Lesbowski. Just like, it's just that, it's just like that one scene in it when he's, I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in. That same exact thing. It's just like a, you know, you got to interlude a scene. You got to cut between things, but you want to keep the theme flowing. You want to keep the ideas flowing. And that's tying it to the penises with Matt Damon, I suppose. That's why we have the Miley Cyrus scenes. So. Yeah. It's just like, okay, we just had three sketch scenes in a row, and now our characters are in new weird places. We have to organically keep the viewer understanding what's going on.
So, it's such a cheat, and I didn't like that. I didn't enjoy it. I felt like I was being, like, spoon-fed something that wasn't working for me. So, I was,
it's interesting
every
what
time
we
it
give
happened,
things
I got
a pass.
More and more annoyed.
What we give a pass, what we consider a cheat, because you call that a cheat, and we just got over Flamin' Hot, where I called a bunch of things and they're cheats because of the way they structure things. It's just interesting what the different things we'll call a cheat in the movie.
Well, yeah, and the perspective, because I don't, you know, that's, for me, that's a cheat that didn't work. And sometimes there are cheats that work for certain people and they don't work for other people. And this is just one where I was like, oh, I kind of feel like you could do something better with this. I mean, it did come to something at the end, but there were other things you could have done. And why Miley Cyrus? And I don't think, did she get credited for this? I
believe it says uncredited here, but.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was weird because I didn't even recognize her.
She probably is friends with somebody. She's friends with somebody, you know, either Cohen, the writer, one of the actors, somebody.
Well, if she did it right, she could have maybe got an Oscar nom for, you know, a song if she was going to sing something. So,
this is 2024 now. This is actually another one, too, that it wasn't supposed to be. You could look at the scores and the box office and be like, oh, this is a cynical. They fucked up. They dumped it in February because they didn't believe in it. No, this is a casualty of the writers, actors strike.
The writers strike.
Yeah. This one was supposed to come out in, I think, like October or something, and it got pushed, so. Not a.
Well,
not...
I'm glad it did get pushed because there was just nothing else to watch. So
no, it was
like this
we could have done the Bob Marley film.
It could have been a lot worse.
I saw Madame Web.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Save that for the catch-up show next time we do. If I can.
Okay, your brother saw that, so.
Madame Web, there is. Whew. There's just. Wow. I just like it's just like crit like what. You just realize, Madam. You look at a movie like when you watch a movie like Madam Web, you're like, I don't think anyone's in charge of anything. It's one of those like House of Cards movies where you're like, not House of Cards the TV show, House of Cards where you're like, it's all a House of Cards. No one's in charge of anything. There's no. You go to the grocery store. There's a miracle. There's food there every time you walk in those doors. Like nothing should work. You're like, if the world was run like Madam Web, we would be in the Dark Ages by lunchtime. Like it's just. Anyway,
as it is, I don't know how the world exists, so I can't imagine that, you know, a world like that.
Look, I know we are pretty short on time. I don't have a ton to say on Driveaway Dolls. I love seeing Bill. It felt like a greatest hits movie, kind of like, oh, I recognize these things, these beats, but they're played in this weird order where it's not a cohesive narrative. It's more of just like, oh, I recognize these types of characters. I recognize these folksy quippy ne'er-do-wells. I get it. And honestly, I had a nice time with them. It was an hour and a half after work, and you know, there's empty theater, totally empty. It was a Wednesday.
Oh
still,
no!
It's the first week. It's out. Totally empty. Completely.
Yeah.
To be fair, this is a theater I go to that has, it's the lowest, no one's ever there. I don't know why this theater, no one's ever there.
Okay.
But no one's ever there, so it's not.
Yeah, I think there might have been two people in the theater. Again, for us too, it was an after work kind of thing, and there might have been a couple people. Do you want to talk about the title?
Yeah, so like when the movie ends, there's like a little sign that pulls away, and instead of saying Drive Away Dolls, it says Henry James Drive Away Dykes.
Right. There is Henry James is a common thread through this that I appreciate. Like, it's when there's something that I can watch walk through the movie, I appreciate that. So it went all the way to the end.
Am I missing why is it called Henry James Drive Away Dykes?
There was a Henry James thread through the film. She was reading, the main character was reading Henry James, and I think, I can't remember which Henry James it was. And then someone else that she met was also reading Henry James.
So just like as a joke, they like credited it to him. I see. It would be like saying Ernest Hemingway's Henry James Drive Away. Blah, blah, because the characters are Ernest Hemingway obsessed or something.
Yes.
Gotcha.
And this is the Henry, this is their version of a Henry James novel. This movie is their version of that.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That would have landed better with me if I got the joke. But you know what? The people who, you knew it. Did that joke work for you? Did you like that? Like, oh, look at that.
I did. Yeah, I like when that thread going through much better than I like the whole segue thread that was happening. Oh, look at that. So
that worked for you then.
I appreciate that. I appreciated that. Yeah.
I think there's
a lot of things worked for me in this. Like you said, in little vignettes and little snippets. As a film, it's just a wreck. So
no, I think they kind of figured they were like, we don't have to. Do we not have to care? Like, we don't have to actually make a real movie. We could just release a rough draft. It really feels like we can just not actually finish this. Like, we could just like, it doesn't really make sense, but it is funny still. Like, we did laugh. Like, I'm still laughing at this. And like, hey, look, the head cutting scene, it's still the scene we wanted to make. And when they're screaming too long, like, that's something we would do. Like, they're just like, you know what? Let's just release it as it is. It's at 80 minutes long. We don't have to reshoot anything. Just put it out there. You know what? Just put it out there. And
imagine being able to do that. Imagine being at the point in your career.
It takes 40 years of being the best. That's all it takes is being 40 years of being a top 50 human being on the planet at your craft. And then
but there are certain people who would never do that. Like that's a compromise that certain filmmakers would never ever make, you know? So
no, Tarantino would never make anything that's not exactly
that's actually the first
perfectly
one I was thinking
his
of too.
Thing. Like a crazy. So. But then look at Soderbergh. How many Soderbergh movies have he done? He's making four movies that's right true. Now. Like he's like, I bet he has
they're going to be absolutely wonderful.
I mean, honestly, what I like about Soderbergh is that even though we rag on some of the things, he makes consistently, he always tries. He just goes so hard all the time. Makes so many things.
I know, but sometimes it's such a miss. But
yeah. I picture him at home. He's got like it's like the four corners of the States. He's got four different sets, and he's just like, he's in a swivel chair, and he's just swiveling between the different sets all day long because he just can't. He's like,
just do one thing.
No, he's got to have made suit. He's got two more coming out this year. I hope.
Wait, did he already have something come out this year?
I don't think anything's come out yet, but
oh, okay.
He's
post-production
got,
stuff.
Yeah, I know he has. He has, because I saw he had a streaming one coming out, but then I saw he also had another. You know him. He's always going. But we're dancing all around Drive Away Dolls. I don't have any more. Do you have any more Drive Away Dolls?
I don't think so.
Do you recommend it, though?
I mean, I like the getaway story. I like the fact that, you know, here it is, almost Y2K, and here's these two lesbians driving to Florida, of all places. Like, okay.
I was going to ask you this slightly unrelated. Do you think we're going to keep leaning on pre-2000, like, 6 so that we don't have to have cell phones and stories because cell phones destroy stories?
I was reading something about that actually, and in it was because of this movie that topic came up.
I've been thinking about that. Like, there's no, it's not. This is, to my estimate, only set in the 90s. for convenience.
Right.
Like, just, I think about
maybe,
like.
Maybe, but maybe campiness a little bit. This isn't something that you're going to want to throw into 2020. And you know what I mean?
I feel I like this, if they wanted
to be a little more
the,
serious,
the throwback, they could have gone back. This feels like a 70s movie, honestly, like the way it actually. It feels more like a 70s time, like maybe 90s, but it's too...
Maybe, but there wouldn't be the acceptance of, like, lesbians.
I forgot about that.
Like, that wouldn't be a thing. So,
yeah, you're right. 90s,
you know, the
70s
was not... Yeah.
The 90s was,
I mean,
the 70s
yeah.
for lesbians. That's a good point.
I mean, why are they even... Are movies even true to life now if people are not even doing anything but being on their phones? Like, is that what we need to see next? You know what I mean?
I've thought about all this, and like, are we in and like so many movies now like continue to be like not just remakes but like continuations of the old things.
Yeah.
Like, are we at post? Are we at the end? Are we? Do we have to? Do we have
it?
We got to blow it all up and restart. I have been thinking about that recently. If we've got it too good now, and now it's kind of done. Like, there's no. We said it all. We said all we're capable of saying. We don't have any fresh.
Well,
freshness.
Yeah. And everything's a retread unless you're, I mean, unless the thing is, it's a retread unless you're commenting on some, on like something social that's happening in life.
I think about right? that when I go, I get in those phases when I go on a bad stretch of movies or, and like we watch, you know, Nicole watches, we have to watch crap. Like if I, like my diet of things I watch and then like,
TV.
And then I got the social medias like this. The only place I get information that I find enjoyable and not horrible is my podcasts. And even them, a lot of them are just regular people too, just trying to digest world. And it's,
right.
It's the best time ever. And yet when it's the best time, that means it's like, well, can't be the best time forever, right?
Happen.
Yeah, like yeah. It's like just we can't not shoe drop. That's all we can do is wait for shoes to drop. It's quiet, too quiet. That's all we can do.
Yeah, you just got to live your life, though, man. And podcasts are just that's the novel of today. So that's the Henry James of today.
They're so wonderful. Everyone can get out their
that.
Voices and gets in the barrier to entry is nothing, you know.
Yeah, that's great and also terrible.
I think it's supposed to be great. I'm pro democratization of information and whatever.
Yeah, I feel that way too. But you know,
I wish everyone could be a god in their own little universe. That really is my wish, is that we could all plug into our own little universes and god over our own worlds.
I think you're supposed to. So. Mm. And that doesn't mean godding over other people, because everybody has to have their own universe, so you can't.
Yeah, but you get to the point where you make your own little universe and you make fake other people to lord over, kind of thing. You have to feel a superiority to another thing, otherwise, like, if you don't feel like you're doing better than someone else, I'm like, well, then what are you even doing? Like, if you had everything you ever wanted and someone had more than you, well, then you're a loser. Like,
oh, wow, man. I don't think that at all, but.
Do you recommend Drive-Away Dolls? I don't either, for the record, but.
For the record. Do I recommend? Yeah, I do. I think that it's quirky enough, different enough. Don't think of it as a film. It's a movie. And yeah, go for it. Pedro Pascal, he can do no wrong.
Not yet. Hopefully that remains. But it's you go out with your friends.
It's a Coen brother.
They're a little older. It's not the best conversation you had with your friends, but you know, there's still them. And that's enough, you know, and that's what this is. It's not the best conversation you ever had. It's a lot like the other conversations you guys have had, but it also makes you remember why you liked him in the first place. So, hang out
so
with
you're a yes.
Yeah, hang out with Drive-Away Dolls. It's a crap movie, but it's so much more enjoyable than what do we do? Flamin' Hot. Flamin' Hot. Much better technical movie in executing basic understanding of things. Horribly boring, not interesting. No one wants to look at that. I'd much rather watch Drive-Away Dolls. And Drive-Away Dolls has stretches of boring, and a movie that's 84 minutes shouldn't really have stretches of anything. It should not.
It should not.
Stretch should not be in the world. And it does that, but it's just because it's sloppy and it doesn't care. But it's funny. It's a funny, sloppy mess. So at least I laughed organically and felt like a person and not like some sort of creature. So Driveway Dolls. Recommends. Two recommends. Any other... I think Auschwitz have come out since you've heard this. Not that we wouldn't know that. Congrats to the winners.
We wouldn't know that, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, good job, Oppenheimer, sure it was great. For winning all those things. I cannot believe just how many things Poor Things did not win. I thought Poor Things was going to do great, but they were really snubbed. And congratulations.
I can't believe that Best Song went to Flaming Hot.
I was just about to do that joke, but fine.
I beat you to it.
You beat me to the final.
I win that one in the little world that we just created.
All right. Okay. Well, that's all right. We're gonna cut it off there. We're gonna recommend things. Go to us. Things to recommend to us. Comments.
Yes.
Reviews. Movies to watch. We actually are gonna do a listener suggestion coming up. I forgot to say that. Bottoms. We're gonna do Bottoms soon. That was a listener suggestion.
Oh, great!
I got it from a couple people actually. More than one. I'll shout you out, but. I did not awesome. Forget about it. The people who sent them out, I had wanted to do it. It just hadn't been streaming, and now it is. So we're going to get to Bottoms in March. So
cool.
Films with the Moment of My Life on Facebook. Reach out to me on Instagram, Brennan_podhosts. And you can email the show, filmswiththewomen@gmail.com. All right, Mama Kay. Thanks for being on Drive Away Dolls.
As Henry James would say, you're welcome.
The next time, this is Brennan signing off, saying thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Films with the Women in My Life. If you enjoyed being a listener in our life, please rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or on your favorite podcast app. Keep up with the latest from the show on Instagram at Brennan_podhost, on Facebook at Films with the Women in My Life, and on Twitter at FilmsWomenPod. Finally, you can email the show with questions and suggestions at filmswiththewomen@gmail.com. Original music for the show was created by Ian Burke and Chris Iwanek. Original artwork created by Nicole D'Alessio. This show is produced by Brennan Snyder. Thank you again for listening and enjoy your movies.